Now, Psalm 31, verse number 1, the Bible reads, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me." Now, the book of Psalms is sometimes a little bit repetitive because a lot of the things in this chapter we've already preached a lot about in the last several weeks and talked about David constantly asking God to hear his prayer, constantly to step in and save him. It seems like he's always under attack. He always has all these enemies gathered around about him, and he's praying to God, trying to get some help, and that's pretty much what this psalm is once again. But look what he says in verse number 2 there at the end. He says, "Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." Look, if you would, at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Just go back in your Bible to the fifth book in the Bible, Deuteronomy. And the Bible talks a lot about God being the rock of our salvation and being our strong rock. And David is saying, "Be my rock, be my strong rock." And he says, "Thou art my rock and my fortress." You see, the rock is there. It's just whether it's your rock. You know what I mean? God's word is here, the rock of our salvation. Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. It's just a question of whether he's our rock, because he's there. It's available. You can have, we have an anchor, the Bible says, in Hebrews chapter 6. It's just a question of whether we've anchored to this rock, but it's definitely there. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. He talks about this a lot. He says in verse 4, "He is the rock." It says, "His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." So why is it that God is our rock? Because of the fact that all his ways are judgment. Because of the fact that his work is perfect. That's what he's saying here. Because he's a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Therefore, he is our rock. Because of the fact that we have a perfect Bible. Because of the fact that we have a perfect Savior. A perfect God. And really, if you don't have a perfect Bible, you don't have a perfect God. Because the Bible is the Word of God. Amen. And the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Jesus Christ's name is called the Word of God. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." And then he said, "Thy Word is truth." And so it's hard to separate Jesus Christ from God's Word, or God from his Word. The Word was God. Jesus Christ was the Word made flesh. And so therefore, when we see this here, God is perfect. His ways are judgment. He's a God of truth. He's without iniquity. He's just and right. That sounds secure. I mean, that sounds like something that we can really anchor our lives to. That sounds like something that I can anchor my faith to that's not going to change. And when God talks about being a rock, that's what he means. Something that's stable. Something that's a foundation. It's interesting when you read about the temple being built. It talks about how they brought, and it goes into great detail, how they brought these costly stones from very far away because of the fact that it wasn't a foundation made of concrete or a bunch of stones stacked upon one another with mortar, but rather gigantic stones, like in excess of 10 feet cube. We're talking about huge stones of one piece of granite that were transported a long way so that basically they could be put under the temple, picturing the foundation of God's house. Not a foundation that fits to its surroundings, like the concrete that we would today pour under our house. You know, we pour in the concrete and it kind of just molds and freezes in that position. No, the foundation of God's house was one where they had to make the earth around it fit the foundation. Everything was built around the foundation. The foundation was pre-made. A giant stone that God made that size. I mean, it was huge. And who's ever seen a stone that was that size? One giant stone. I remember I was driving through the Mojave Desert. I'm trying to think what it's called. Joshua Tree National Park. There's a portion of it where it's called the Jumbo Rocks. And they have rocks that are the size of... Have you been there before? The rocks are like the size of a house. It's unbelievable. It just looks like a big rock, but it's huge. And I mean, these type of stones were carved out and used for the foundation of God's house as a picture of what ought to be the foundation of God's house, God's Word, which the Bible says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. This is the truth. Thy word is truth. And I'm glad I have a Bible that doesn't change.
Amen.
It doesn't change. God's word will never change. It never has changed. And if it's changed, it's not God's word. Today, people come out with all these new versions, so-called. And so many people just think that it's just an update of the language. You know, just a little easier to understand. A little more in the common vernacular with which we speak. And yet, entire verses are removed. Whole concepts are changed. There are so many differences. And we need to realize that God's word doesn't change. If it's new, it's not God's word. I mean, God's word has always been around. It's preserved. The Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So God's word is going to be preserved. That means it's going to be kept in an unchanged state. That's what preservation is. I mean, if we're going to preserve something, we're going to keep it the same. We're going to keep it the way it was. And we're not the ones preserving God's word. God is the one who preserved His word.
Amen.
And He's going to keep it the same. Now, people will try to attack the King James Version, and they'll say, oh, the King James Bible has changed. You know, they'll say, oh, in the last 400 years, you know, it's 2010.